Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We are now getting a look at the extensive damage here in Durham from those storms yesterday. Downed power lines and stoplights and a tree that killed a woman. We're getting a better look now at damage here in Raleigh after the storm came through and hit yesterday. Coming up, I'll explain what neighbors say about the damage.
And our cold front is moving through. It will be a quieter day today. It's still going to be a hot one. We have a small chance for thunderstorms, mostly in our southeastern counties. I'll walk you through it.
And could Donald Trump make history as the first former president to have a mugshot taken? What the sheriff in Fulton County, Georgia, is saying about the booking process once Trump turns himself in. 4:30 is the time right now. Your Wednesday morning, August 16th. We welcome you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Wow, what a storm we saw yesterday. Durham obviously getting hit pretty hard. So we're going to have live reports. We have live coverage, team coverage today on all of that. But today, luckily, things looking better storm-wise. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is still hot out there, though.
Yeah, it's still a warm start. We're looking at 74 degrees right now. Our dew point, 72. This is a live look at Durham. Now, yesterday, our dew points climbed almost to 80 degrees, and that is extremely muggy. So this is more of a normal feel to the atmosphere for an August start. We take a look. We do have some cloud cover out there, so we do have the tower lit at partly cloudy for us this morning, and there may be some patchy fog that develops. Haven't seen very much of that yet, but we have our eye on it. It's a cool 64 in Roxborough. Elsewhere, temperatures are in the mid to upper 70s, but again, that's pretty typical for a morning like this. We take a look at some of the damage done from yesterday, and you can see a lot of power outages, especially in Durham. Durham was hit hard. And of course, we have crews out there to talk a little bit more about what we're seeing with lots and lots of trees down. There goes our cold front. There's a little bit of rain associated with that front sliding eastward out of our viewing area right now. We'll likely have the potential for a little bit more, a few more chances for scattered storms later on today. We'll see that front that moves eastward still stalled down to the south. So from Fayetteville to Clinton to Goldsboro, we could see a few afternoon and evening thunderstorms, but all of that should end up being along or east of I-95 and only affecting a small amount of our viewing area. We ended up breaking the record high yesterday. We hit 100 degrees. So today, 10 degrees cooler than that, but that still means 90. We'll talk about when our temperatures start to creep up again coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And heads up to you in Durham County. Classes are canceled today for students because of the ongoing power outages and widespread damage from last night's severe storms. The district says there'll be a 2-hour delay for staff at DPS year-round, specialty high schools, and central services office today.
And Legacy Academy in Chapel Hill will be delayed until 10 o'clock this morning. Meanwhile, Falls Lake Academy in Creedmoor is on a 2-hour delay.
As we mentioned, the damage is widespread this morning, so we do have live team coverage for you across the triangle as our crews show you some of the hardest hit areas as you're waking up.
Yeah, first let's get over to Laura Levine, who is live in Durham, where the storm turned deadly. Laura, a woman losing her life.
Michelle, even driving into Durham, it's very eerie here this morning. The power is out. It's pitch black and just a lot of debris everywhere. I want you to walk with me here so you can see a little bit of what we're seeing. Downed power lines. You can see the stoplight here all tangled up. But I really want to point your attention to this large tree here at the intersection of Anderson and Moorhead. This is the tree that fell on the vehicle of a woman driving through this area yesterday who did die here because of this. Now, this happening around yesterday afternoon, as we know, when those storms were rolling through, 78-year-old Donna Warsaw from Hillsboro was traveling within this area when the tree fell. Of course, power is out still at this time. We've actually seen some people kind of walking about within this area. It is not safe, you guys. When I tell you, there is not a single light on. It's very dark, but it's also you can't really see what's on the ground. So a lot of just mangled up wires and debris, tree, trash. It is very dangerous. So if you're traveling very early this morning, you want to just be mindful of that. Actually, just avoid areas like this. Again, this is the intersection of Moorhead and Anderson Street. And now we're going to send things over to Kelsey Coffey with a look at things in Raleigh. Laura, neighbors who live here at the Timbers apartment complex are waking up this morning to see this. Their parking lot is covered in debris and trash. Actually, where I'm standing right now, it seems like there was probably a tree that hit a car, because we can see that there's a lot of wood chips around. So there was probably someone that was chopping the wood trying to remove a tree from a car, and several other cars were just missed by a tree. We're going to get you to some video now from yesterday so you can really see the extent of those damages. Now, storms were producing wind gusts as strong as 80 miles per hour, so you can see why this damage is just so extensive. And coming up in the next half hour, we'll introduce you to one man who lives here who will describe the moments happening before that storm. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
And people in Orange County have widespread damage to clean up after yesterday's storm. That storm uprooted large trees and brought them crashing down onto homes, leaving thousands without power. Orange County was hit with straight line winds with bursts between 70 and 80 miles an hour. There is no word on any injuries there. The storm damage is widespread across our area, and as many of you clean up today, share your pictures with us. When it is safe to do so, you can submit those images or videos through the WRAL News app or our weather app.
And good morning, Ken Smith in the WRAL Live Center. Continuing our coverage, we were talking about the widespread damage, well, also widespread power outages all across the Triangle area. The hardest hit area, if you can see from this outage map, courtesy of Duke Energy, more than 49,000 customers in the Durham area, one of the hardest hit areas, still without power this morning. If you bring it here to the Triangle area and bring it closer to Raleigh, a little more than 400 customers are still without power. But you can see this map, just widespread power outages all across the Triangle and surrounding areas. We'll keep monitoring this map, because when we first came on the air this morning, when it first came in around 4 o'clock, that number, 49K, that was up to 57K. So it's steadily dropping. We'll keep monitoring these numbers here in the WRAL Live Center.
All right, thank you, Ken. We've learned a person has died after being hit by a Raleigh patrol cruiser. This is a story we first brought you as breaking news yesterday morning. Authorities identify the victim as 51-year-old Pedro Lopez. Investigators say he was hit Monday night by an on-duty officer in a marked vehicle. We're told Lopez was crossing Capitol Boulevard near Calvary Drive, but was not using a crosswalk when he was hit. RPD's Internal Affairs Unit is investigating the actions of the officer who was driving. They will determine if any laws were broken. That officer has been placed on administrative duty.
State House lawmakers are expected to vote today on some big changes to election law. As you take a live look right here at the General Assembly, Republican leaders say the changes will increase public confidence in elections. But WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie shows us critics say they'll just make it harder to vote.
The changes Republican state lawmakers are proposing include moving the deadline for mail-in ballots from 3 days after Election Day to Election Day evening, giving political poll observers more freedom to watch and listen in on what voters are doing, requiring signature verification software for mail-in ballots in 10 counties, and giving political operatives more power to challenge voters. Supporters say the changes will make elections more secure, but Democratic Representative Allison Dahl said they won't be cheap and they still don't have a budget.
I don't know how we can pass this bill without looking at the monies and the funds to even see if they're there to make sure that we do this correctly.
Representative Joe John said there's no reason to move the mail-in ballot deadline earlier. There have been no problems with it since the grace period was first added in 2009.
Basically, I guess my position is if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Some on the right complain that the bill doesn't go far enough in giving the public access to more voting information, like Jim Womack with a group called the North Carolina Election Integrity Team.
50% of America doesn't trust its elections, and the reason they don't, because of transparency and accessibility.
Matt Swallow with left-leaning group Democracy Out Loud said it will give poll observers too much leeway to interfere with voters.
So this gives the observer a chance to hear what the voter's party is, and if it's an opposite party, they could follow those voters into the voting area and potentially intimidate them.
Lawmakers could still make some more changes to the bill today. It's likely to pass the House along party lines and then go to the Senate, and it could be on the governor's desk as early as tonight.
School leaders in Wake County are working to make sure your kids are safe in the coming school year. School resource officers, principals, and security administrators are meeting today in Cary for a summit. They plan to talk about large event safety and equity in school security, among other topics. They'll also participate in an exercise to assess different responses to security threats.
Happening today, the first of thousands of college students will be moving into the Triangle area universities and schools this week. They'll begin arriving. Move-in for the fall semester begins today at UNC Chapel Hill. The school says it is welcoming more than 5,600 first-year students and transfer students to campus. Move-in will continue through Saturday ahead of the first day of classes on Monday. Students at NC State will start moving in tomorrow, and Duke's move-in is Saturday.
Time now, 4:40 on your Wednesday morning. Former President Donald Trump could become the first former president with a mugshot. What we're learning about his future booking process in Fulton County now that he's been indicted for his alleged role in trying to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia.
Plus, more than 300 positions need to be filled at PNC Arena. You can become part of the staff today at one of Raleigh's entertainment hubs.
And we'll bring you live out to Sanford this morning. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center, tracking the hot temperatures we'll be dealing with again today.
From the WREL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
It is 4:44. We actually have a lingering shower. Our cold front that crossed the area yesterday is still here in our eastern counties. A little bit of lightning there just to the east of Tarboro. That's about to move out of our viewing area, but didn't want to leave you out. There is that shower that's still finally moving out. After that, we're going to see a bit of a break with a few scattered storms in some of our southern counties, and we'll walk through that coming up. Look at Apex this morning. It is dry. It is dry in most places. Weather shouldn't be a big issue this morning, but there are a lot of trees down. So that's one thing that I want to warn you about. A lot of places haven't had a chance to remove some of those trees. It's dark outside. So in rural areas, just be especially careful, especially in the Triangle area. 77 in Fayetteville, 73 Irwin, 74 in Rocky Mount. We'll see a high of 90 this afternoon.
Former President Donald Trump is expected to surrender at the Fulton County Jail in Georgia. That's according to a statement from the local sheriff. District Attorney Fani Willis has given Trump and his 18 co-defendants in the Georgia indictment until noon August 25th to turn themselves in. There's no word from the Trump team on when he'll be booked. The Fulton County sheriff says that the jail will follow its normal practice and Trump will be treated like anyone else. That could include a mugshot. Trump's facing 13 counts, including racketeering, in the probe into the aftermath of the 2020 election. He's now facing a total of 91 charges across four indictments handed up against him in recent months.
Meanwhile, North Carolina's Mark Meadows is trying to get the case moved to federal court. He's one of Trump's co-defendants charged in the Georgia 2020 election probe. Meadows, who is the White House's former chief of staff, filed the request on Tuesday. It cites a federal law that allows a case to be moved if the alleged actions were taken under color of a defendant's federal office. Moving the case to federal court could result in a more favorable jury pool for defendants. The charge would almost certainly mean no cameras will be allowed in the courtroom.
President Biden is facing criticism this morning for his response to the deadly wildfires in Hawaii. Biden says he and the First Lady will visit Maui as soon as they can to get a look at the damage. He has also pledged $700 per household in relief aid. Critics say his attention is not focused enough on a tragedy that now has 106 confirmed deaths and thousands of people who have lost everything. Governor Josh Green says the number of confirmed dead is expected to keep growing. Crews have only been able to search about a third of the area that was burned by the fire. Only two of the victims of the fire have been publicly identified. Maui's police chief says he's hopeful crews will have up to 90% of that area searched by this weekend.
For the very first time, North Korea is confirming that U.S. Army soldier Travis King is in the country. State-run media there says King crossed into the country due to inhumane maltreatment and racial discrimination within the U.S. Army. U.S. officials believe that King intentionally crossed the border while on a civilian tour. The Department of Defense says it's focused on King's safe return to the U.S. His family said earlier this month that they had no reason to believe that he would defect from the U.S. military.
A big hiring event is happening today at PNC Arena. The home of the Hurricanes wants to hire people for more than 300 part-time positions. Everything from catering department, cooks, concessions, security, parking attendants, and more. Staff would work events like hockey and basketball games, concerts, and comedy shows. If you'd like to apply, you can go to PNC Arena today from 3 to 6 tonight. You can also apply online by going to pncarena.com/entertainment.
This morning, we will learn which team will play Spain in the final of the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup. England and the home country, Australia, will kick off 6 a.m. in a semifinal matchup. You can catch all the action on Fox 50. Our 7 o'clock news will air on WRL News Plus. You can find it on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum Channel 1257, or on the WRL app on your smart TV and mobile device.
The Duke Faculty Club will be closed today after being hit hard during yesterday's storm. Look at this video of the heavy rain and fierce winds that battered the club yesterday afternoon. The club's management says it will be working today to assess the damage left behind by that severe weather.
Still, what we're keeping an eye on right now, 448, and Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. We see still a shower lingering out there, huh?
Yeah, we do. So our cold front, this is the one that caused all that damage yesterday. That cold front, when it was west of us, developed a strong line of thunderstorms right after lunchtime and into the evening. And it's slowly moving across the area right now. So we do still have an isolated shower that is hanging out there in Edgecombe County. This is a look at how many people were affected by this storm yesterday. You can see the white circles. Those were all wind damage reports. 196 of them up and down the East Coast, 10 hail reports, one tornado report. And we were fortunate about that. We didn't end up with any tornado damage here in North Carolina. You can see where the storm reports were really clustered, especially right there around Durham County. There were a few of those in Wake County and say from Johnston County north up the I-95 corridor, and a few of those back there across parts of Moore County as well. We take a look at dual Doppler 5000 radar. And again, here's that little shower that that is continuing to linger along our slow-moving cold front, just to the east of Pine Tops, east of Tarboro, a little bit of lightning there. That's gradually going to slip out of the viewing area. Of course, with all that wind damage yesterday, we still have a lot of power outages there in Durham. You can really see when we take a look at the power outages, as many as 52,000 customers still without power. Definitely was our hardest hit county. We do have a few other counties with some outages, but Durham definitely hit the hardest out there. We do have a little cloud cover out there this morning. I would call it partly to variably cloudy. We'll likely have some more storms that develop this afternoon from Goldsboro to Clinton to Fayetteville late in the afternoon and evening, right about the time of the evening commute. That should be the only place we see storms today. That is where our front will be lingering. I wish that front had really picked up and moved farther to the south and east. If it had, we would see a cooler, drier air mass. Now, it's still going to be cooler than it was yesterday, but that's not saying a whole lot. We ended up breaking the previous record of 99 yesterday. We hit 100 degrees, and that is our first 100 degree day at RDU this year. Right now, it's 74 with a dew point of 72. That's a pretty typical August morning for us. We'll hit 90 today in Raleigh, 89 in Durham, and 91 in Fayetteville. What we see going forward now looks pretty normal. Today, it'll feel like 92. Tomorrow, it's going to feel like 98. But then we're back to feeling like low 90s as we get into the weekend. We take a look at our temperature outlook. And again, it still looks above normal all the way through the end of this month. So we're 90 today and tomorrow. Our temperatures climb back into the mid-90s starting on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So the heat's not over for us, but we don't have a lot of chances for scattered storms right now. It looks like just a few pop-up afternoon and evening cells.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Well, eating a balanced meal can be a real challenge, especially for children. Coming up after the break, what you can do to help your child eat more veggies and improve their health.
And brunch in a bottle. The new adult drink Eggo is rolling out for you to pair with your waffles.
The Chatham County Sheriff has a warning about a two-pronged scam. One part, a work-from-home scheme, the other happening on Craigslist. Investigators say the scammer targets sellers on Craigslist. The scammer sends a counterfeit check to the seller with a higher dollar amount than the sale price. The scammer then tells the seller to return the excess money. Now, for part two, Chatham County investigators say scammers are based overseas. However, the checks come from a local source. They say the scammer set up a fake company and convince locals to take a work-from-home job handling payroll. In reality, they're peddling the bogus Craigslist checks.
Sometimes it can be hard to get your kids to eat healthy. A recent CDC report shows nearly half of children nationwide don't eat vegetables daily. There are ways to help kids get more vegetables into their diet, though. Experts say you should introduce veggies to your kids early and often, but don't pressure them because that'll make them less likely to want to eat them. You should also lead by example by eating balanced meals yourself and make veggies a normal part of every meal so kids expect them.
Just put a piece or two of something on their plate and do that every night repeatedly. So they start to learn, hey, this is normal. This is what we're having. Everyone's trying it together.
And with older children, you might consider taking them shopping and letting them pick out their own veggies.
And parents, we have something for you this morning. Eggo Waffles want to help you Lego with its new boozy brunch in a jar. The Kellogg Company teamed up with Sugarlands Distilling Company to create the Eggo Brunch in a Jar Sippin' Cream. It's a liqueur that blends the flavors of toasted Eggo waffles, sweet maple syrup, rich butter, and even a hint of smoky bacon. The Eggo Brunch in a Jar is available at select retailers nationwide and online in select states. Okay.
Lego my mason jar of booze, okay? We're going to fight over that.
Okay. I can get behind this. What is it, like $20 to $30? Yeah. $20 to $30 a bottle. So it's not very expensive, but it's not something that I can drink a lot of, I don't think, because it's so sweet.
No, and I look closely at it, it says Appalachian Sipping Cream, so it's made for us.
Maybe you can you put a little in your coffee, maybe? Right? Am I on to something?
Give it a go. Let me know.
I'll let you know.
I'm a straight up guy. Major weather. Look at this. One dead, thousands without power this morning, hours after storms rolled through our area. We have team coverage for you across the triangle showing you the hardest hit areas that could affect your morning commute. Plus.
As a mother, I shouldn't have to see that. They shouldn't have had to been through that.
A Greensboro family speaks out after an apartment complex manager is caught on camera pouring soda on an 11-year-old boy. What we're learning about the lawsuit that's now been filed.